Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Laura Alexander, and at counsel's table is my co-counsel, Charles Kreinler. We are pro bono counsel for the appellant, Richard Vollis. Before I begin, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Right.
Your Honors, a reversal of the District Court's summary judgment order is warranted in this action because genuine issues of material fact remain as to Mr. Vollis' discrimination and retaliation claims under the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. First,
What injury did Mr. Vollis suffer here?
Your Honor, Mr. Vollis suffered pain and suffering that resulted from the denial of his request for an accommodation.
They never denied. He sought 3 extensions of his Section 8 housing voucher, and the housing authority granted all 3 extensions.
Yes, Your Honor.
How can he possibly be harmed by that?
Mr. Vollis sought a 4th extension of his housing voucher for a period of
time. Was granted for 30 days, and he never sought another one.
Your Honor, the 3rd request for an extension of time was the extension for 30 days, and that extended.
Right. I have a cheat sheet here. September 4, he requests a voucher. October 22, Hackler responds, gives him an extension of 120 days. January 14 of 14, he extends requests another 120 day extension. He gets one for 60 days on February 18th. April 16, 2014, without any further movement from Vollis, Hackler grants another 60-day extension. January 18, 2014, Vollis makes a request for an extension. 2 days later, Hackler grants an extension for 30 days, and that's the end of the case.
Your Honor, the record reflects that Mr. Vollis requested a 4th extension of time in June 2014, and I would direct Your Honor.
June 18th, 2014, request for extension. June 20, 2014, granted for 30 days, end of case.
Your Honor, I would direct.
He didn't ask after that.
He did request a 4th extension of time, and that is in the district court's order. It is cited at ER 101. And he requested an extension of time beyond 270 days.
Where is that request?
At ER 101.
July 30, this is a year later, July 30 of 15, he said he hadn't received notice of termination and asked, what's the status of my Section 8 voucher?
Yes, Your Honor. He did request an update regarding.
I don't have any information that he made any request after he was granted a 30-day extension on June 20, 2014.
Your Honor, again, I would just direct you to the district court's
order.
Well,
pull it up and read it to me. I don't have it. I mean, I can look at it, but you're the lawyer here.
Your Honor, it's at ER 101.
Read it
you
to me.
You said that 3 times. Would you find it and read it to us, please?
Your Honor, I don't have a copy of the district court's order before me, but I'm happy to submit it later.
Okay. All right. So you're saying there was a 4th request, and how long was that for?
The 4th request was for a voucher extension beyond 270 days. And the fact that this 4th extension was requested by Mr. Vollis has never been contested.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. Where's the denial of this 4th extension? What page is that at?
There is no evidence in the record that Hackler denied this 4th request for an extension. They just never responded to it.
Okay.
And when
so where's
Vollis
the harm? They gave him 120 days, 120 days, 30 days. The law of the circuit is that there's no harm in failing to extend an extension. Seems like this individual was given a great deal of leniency and accommodation by the housing authority.
Your Honor, I would refer you back to the July 30th email that you noted in which HACLA informed Mr. Vallis that his voucher had been terminated. So that is, in essence, the denial of his request for a fourth extension beyond 270 days.
So let me ask you this. Where is the evidence that the denial or inaction by HACLA, by the housing authority, was motivated by the discrimination as to Mr. Wallace's disability?
Yes, Your Honor. So in order to establish a prima facie case of retaliation, Mr. Wallace needs to establish before the trial court that HACLA denied a request for a reasonable accommodation. So the main issue in this case is whether Mr. Wallace's request for an extension beyond 270 days is a request for a reasonable accommodation. On its motion for summary judgment, the Housing Authority argued that it had no choice but to deny Mr. Wallace's request because an extension beyond 270 days was not permitted by its administrative plan. HACLA is essentially asserting that no request for an accommodation in the form of a voucher extension beyond 270 days would ever be reasonable for any disabled person in any circumstances.
Wasn't the reason given by the Housing Authority that there was no evidence that Mr. Wallace had made any application, or any rental application for any space, so he hadn't really gone out and done something quite reasonable, which was to look for space and make a rental application?
Yes, Your Honor, that is their argument. I have two responses to that.
And that's the argument based on the record. There were no applications submitted by Mr. Wallace for any alternate accommodation, were there?
Your Honor, there's a factual dispute there because
no, there's not a factual dispute unless you bring in some evidence that he made an application.
Mr. Wallace's deposition, where he represented himself pro se, reflects that when he was asked whether he submitted any rental applications within the 270-day period, he responded that he doesn't recall.
Is that evidence that he did it?
It's not evidence that he did not submit a single rental application in 270 days. And the record
would it be unreasonable for the housing authority to say, we're not going to give you any more extensions because you haven't made any rental applications? And his evidence would be, oh, yes, I did make a rental application. That would cause a tribal issue of fact. But when he says, I don't recall making any applications, does that cause a tribal issue of fact as to whether he made an application?
Your Honor, what's important here is that the determination...
No, did you get that picture? Did you get my question?
Yes.
Not what's important to you, but what's important to me, which is, does that create a tribal issue of fact?
In other words,
he didn't, says the housing authority, and he says, I don't recall. Does that create an issue of fact as to whether he did?
It does, Your Honor, and I just want to also point out
how is that logically possible?
The determination of whether Mr. Wallace's request is a request for a reasonable accommodation, it's not just limited to whether he was diligent in his search for housing. It's broader than that. We have to look to his disability.
But all we're talking about is there a reasonable and non-discriminatory basis upon which the housing authority denied the extension? And the housing authority says the reasonable basis is he didn't make any rental applications. He was playing games with us.
There is a tribal issue of fact as to whether Mr. Wallace's disabilities affected his search for housing. It's not just about diligence.
Is your position that his disabilities prevented him from making a rental application?
Yes, Your Honor.
How did he get into the place that he was living?
His disabilities are psychological in nature. They're the exact disabilities that would affect his search for housing. And they also limited the type of housing that he could search for. Unless there are any further questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's Joseph Stark for the Housing Authority of the City of Los Angeles. May it please the court.
Where's this denial on page 101? He made a request for an extension, Mr. Volus, that is, June 18th, 2014. June 20th, your client granted an extension for 30 days, and your opponent urges us to look at page 101 of the district court record and find a denial of that June 18th, 2014 request? I haven't been able to.
Nor have I, Your Honor, but I would suggest that that's a reference to the response that was given to the July 30th, 2015 email advising Mr. Volos that his voucher expired a year previously and that no further extensions.
Well, let me get this right. My perspective is June 18th he requested, June 20th he was extended, 30 days go by, nothing happens until a year later he says, what's going on with my voucher, and your client says it expired.
Correct.
So where's the standing to sue here?
I have argued that Mr. Volos has no cause of action. From the demurrer stage, or excuse me, the motion to dismiss stage, all the way through the motion for summary judgment. I don't think I can argue his case to you. But in due respect, I think that Mr. Volos's position in this case is simply that the ADA requires an equivalency of outcome rather than an equivalency of access.
Well, actually, and that's not his contention is that because of his disability, that mandating the 270 days in his case is not a reasonable accommodation for him.
Well, first of all, the reasonable accommodation initially is the doubling of the time in which Housing Authority of the City of Los Angeles grants extensions for disabled individuals. The original voucher was...
Does TACLA have a different standard for people with disabilities?
Yeah, without disabilities or with?
Well, is there a different standard for people with as opposed to without?
Yes, Your Honor. They grant, as noted in our brief, the Housing Authority of the City of Los Angeles grants a voucher for 120 days to a non-disabled individual. They then indicate in their administrative plan that if there is a person with a disability, a reasonable accommodation will be made by granting additional extensions up to a maximum of 270 days. So, yes, there is a dramatic difference in the manner in which the Housing Authority deals with
it. So it stops at 270 days, but HUD would have allowed HACLA to grant further extensions, right?
Well, Your Honor, the Housing Authority is bound by its published administrative plan. That is approved by HUD. It was subsequently implicitly approved by HUD again when Mr. Volos filed his fair housing claim with the department, and the department found no reason to believe there was any discrimination based on the fact that he received the 270 days permitted under the administrative plan. So, HACLA is absolutely bound by that
so
plan.
I'm questioning whether HACLA is required to make an individualized assessment of the needs of disabled persons who come before it, or whether there's just a uniform 270-day rule that it stands by.
I think that there are some grave dangers in imposing upon a PHA the obligation to make that kind of parsing decision or determination. Would a blind person...
So the answer is... No,
I'm sorry. No, they do not.
The answer is no. Now you're going to go into policy reasons.
Policy reasons.
That we don't need to hear policy reasons for why no. But the answer is no.
The answer is no. The Housing Authority should not be making that kind of parsing decision as to each individual and each circumstance. And in this case, I really do feel compelled to point out, Mr. Volos has been or was a participant in the Section 8 program since 1993. He'd only resided in this current apartment from which he was obliged to remove himself for 3 years prior to this. So from 1993 all the way through 2014, he resided in a variety of different places, was able to find housing that suited his needs, suited his disabilities. Whatever the case, for that period of time, he was quite capable of doing that. And there's no evidence in the record that his condition changed or that anything changed to make it more difficult for him 3 years later. I think the court has well grasped the issues in this case. I think that there is no issue of fact here. The trial court was quite correct in determining that the housing authority extended the most reasonable accommodations possible to Mr. Volus, and there's no evidence here that he ever suffered any damage. On the last point, the question of whether or not the retaliation can survive the discrimination dismissal, since they are the same acts, the same events, and the same alleged loss, it would be absurd, I think, to have the retaliation action go forward where the discrimination action is dismissed, given the fact that if the discrimination action is dismissed, all of the actions that the housing authority took were legal.
All right.
With that, I'd submit it.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
counsel, would you answer for me, what are the triable issues of fact that you think should go to a jury in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. The first triable issue of fact is whether the implementation of HACLA's 270-day limit in its administrative plan in Mr. Volus' circumstances violates his rights under the ADA. And for that issue of tribal fact, I would point this court to Duval versus County of Kitsap, which stated that the ADA imposes...
You didn't answer the judge's question. What is the fact that has to be tried?
The fact is that HACLA argues that the implementation of its 270-day limit in its administrative plan complies with the law. We argue...
That's a legal issue. What is the fact that has to be tried?
Your Honor, another tribal issue of fact that I would point this court to is whether and to what extent Mr. Volus' disabilities affected his search for housing and whether his request for an accommodation beyond 270 days would then be reasonable.
Okay.
And which document do you point to his request for the extension beyond 270 days?
Again, I would point this court to the district court's order at ER 101, and I would also point this court to the HUD investigation report, and that's at ER 229, where it's stated that Mr. Volus alleged that he made an accommodation request beyond 270 days.
Is it your position that any denial of an extension would be unreasonable?
No, Your Honor.
Then what is different from this request to an indefinite extension?
What's different here is that HACLA didn't individually analyze the circumstances of Mr. Volus' disabilities and what accommodation might be reasonable for him, as required by this court in Duval. They only looked to the limit in their administrative plan.
And they also look at the fact that he hadn't made any rental applications. He wasn't looking for a place, and he had been living in this Section 8 since 1993 in different places.
Your Honor, Duval and the Supreme Court in Alexander versus Choate states that the determination of whether an accommodation is reasonable is not just limited to due diligence. It's about his disabilities and how those disabilities affected his need for an accommodation.
What fact of his disability makes it reasonable for him not to be able to file a rental application?
Your Honor, again, there's an issue of fact as to whether he submitted any rental applications in 270 days.
Let's get past that. There's no evidence that he made a rental application. What issue of fact is there as to his disability which makes it impossible for him to make a rental application?
Your Honor, Mr. Volus suffers from psychological disabilities and cognitive...
Was he able to make a rental application to the place where he lived?
I'm sorry?
He was able to make a rental application to the place where he was living?
In 2010, yes. Mr. Volus is not saying that his disability...
What happened between 2010 and 2014 to make it impossible for him to make a rental application? What issue of fact was presented by the record?
He didn't have 4 years, Your Honor, to search for housing. He had 270 days. And he's not saying that he needs an extension until he can find housing. He's only looking for the opportunity to have an extension beyond 270 days
okay.
to assist.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you. And I also want to thank Shepherd Mullen and the attorneys here today for taking on this matter pro bono. And both attorneys did a very good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Golis versus Hecla is submitted.